It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Belaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Belaga Homer Hour. Family night has occurred again, which says nothing about the Packers as a team, but emphasizes the Green Bay Packer fans have to be the best fans in the world. I think if they just walked around, you could sell out Lambeau Field. Just don't even play. Just have them walk around, and the place would still be packed. I don't think there's another team in professional sports that can get a sold-out crowd for an event as insignificant as that practice. But I will defer to the doctor of football, though I don't know that he's an expert on family night any more than I am. Brian Belaga.
How we doing? Doing good. Good. Happy Monday.
Yes. You're going to do that even when I'm on.
Of course. Of course.
Don't be upset when I don't do it.
It's okay. I've come to expect it, but I still got to do it.
Yeah. It makes you feel better. It's the Brian Belaga Homer Hour. For example, on Friday, Tom Oates was on, legendary columnist, sports reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. Mm-hmm. And I had said the day before, I will never, never have, and never, ever will use the word physicality. I don't even think it's a word. Not only that, it's bad because people were physical and tough for 100 years, and there's no need to change it to a longer word that doesn't make any sense to me. And yet he used physicality, and someone complained. I said, well, I can't demand the co-host of the show. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
I just said, I'm not going to do it. I'd probably be a little tougher on a caller. there's another one other than physicality. They do another cality one. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know what, but when I hear
there's a lot of football talk. There's a lot of
And your entire career, I believe you never heard it once.
What, physicality?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, we heard it.
Did you? It existed back then?
Oh, yeah. It gets said in the building a bunch.
Oh, okay.
It does. It exists. It's real.
Okay.
But to family night, yeah, I mean, it does symbolize how strong the fan base is of the Green Bay Packers. Because, I mean, it is a practice, right? It's a glorified practice with fireworks at the end. And for me, why I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it for our fans. Obviously, the families of the guys.
You enjoyed it as a player?
No. Oh. Not the practice part of it, but the afterwards, right? The fireworks, and you got your family on the field. But for the fans' point of view, right? From the fans' standpoint, it's not easy to get Green Bay Packers tickets. It's not cheap to get Green Bay Packers tickets. So this could be a time where people come and they get to go into Lambeau and they get to experience seeing the Green Bay Packers in there, right? Like, and to me, that's pretty cool.
I don't even know. Is it free or do they charge you?
I think they charge you. I don't know how much. I really don't. I think it's maybe, I don't know. I don't want to butcher it.
All right. Well, someone in the Institute will call in or put it on Twitter.
I don't know what it costs, but it's a good opportunity, and you could tell the people that go are enjoying themselves. They have fun with it. It is a good atmosphere, right? And guys do a good job entertaining.
$10.
Okay, $10. So that's pretty good, right? So it's a good experience for the crowd, and the crowd's really into it, and it's a very glorified practice. I don't like family night, and I don't think I have to explain it. It's because I blew up my ACL in 2013 in family night. And so I don't have to explain too much more why I don't like family night. I just have a bad history with family
night. Well, that was just being unlucky.
Well, doesn't right? matter. Doesn't
well, I mean,
matter.
Just what I'm saying. You didn't have an injury or that you had no idea that it was coming. It wasn't like you'd been suffering from a knee injury, right? This just
correct.
Came out of nowhere.
Yep. Yep, essentially. And the wild part about that is I tore my ACL on the first drive of that family night scrimmage, and I went on and did about 30 more plays. I just thought, oh, I might have sprained my knee. I just kept going. I had no idea. Next morning is when I woke up, and I was like, all right, something's a little bit off here. But regardless.
Well, no, we can't do it regardless. Explain that. I'm not a doctor. Most of the people listening aren't a doctor. My entire life, when somebody had a major knee injury, you knew it when it occurred. And that didn't clearly has changed, and not just with yours, but in other knee injuries.
Yeah.
If it doesn't hurt for 30
hurt.
Plays, yeah, I just want to let you know, if I was a doctor, I'd say, you're fine. How do I know? You played 30 plays. It can't be. If you got a knee injury that's bad, you're not going to play one play. But
yeah, I mean, but it was weird. It hurt, but I just thought it was a sprain of something else. Because I always thought in my mind, if you tear something bad in there, you're not going to be able to walk, right? Like that was my thought process. And I finished out what I was scheduled to do. And they wanted to do one more drive with the ones, and I came off and I went over to Doc McKenzie and I was like, hey man, there's something, you know, my knee that I got landed on in the first drive. And he's like, well, you played the rest of it, but he goes, we'll just shut you down. So I didn't go out and do that last one, but regardless, like I didn't really know until the next morning when I got out of bed, and it was very, we'll just say unstable, so to speak. I didn't really know.
Had you ever experienced anything like that before?
No, okay. No. Just absolutely wild, right? I mean, I went to bed going, all right, I probably sprained like an LCL or I did something. I'll go get a scan on it tomorrow. I'll probably sit out, you know, 4 or 5 days, let it recover, and we'll be fine. Like, no big deal.
Had anybody on the team in previous years or whatever, anybody you'd played with, experienced this to where you had to give it some thought that maybe it's a lot worse than I think?
I'm trying to think back of guys that might have something happened and they fit like,
first time it happened, I'd ask it, you would go like, what do you mean? Your knee can't be out that long. I saw you after the play. You were
well,
okay.
That's what I'm saying. When I got the diagnosis, I was absolutely shocked. Yeah,
I'm sure the first time it occurred to somebody else, maybe you don't remember it or somebody else does that.
Yeah,
this is weird because I can only tell you, I don't know when it started, but every major knee surgery I ever remember watching in any sport, it was serious from the first initial injury. But
well, I mean, but see, that's the difference. I mean, when I tore my other one in 2017, I knew it right away. Like I felt it pop. And I walked off the field. The drive was still going on, and I walked off the field because I knew. I was like, there's
you
no
knew
doubt.
Because of what you had experienced before, or because it was worse?
It was worse. It felt worse. Right. And I mean, and it popped. I felt it pop. So like, I just had it was a weird thing. Like foot. It was just how it happened. So like, just two different injuries. But you know, that's kind of why my bugaboo with family night is the way it is, right? My biggest thing is that they walk out of there, no one's injured. That's my biggest thing, is that no one gets hurt in family night, because it happened to me, and it sucked. And you don't want to lose someone in some. I mean, that was one of the last years that it was live tackling. I'm pretty sure Ted Thompson the next year shut down live tackling in family night, because essentially what happened is I got Eddie Lacy got tackled into me, and I got rolled into it, and the way my leg kind of got rolled into and buckled essentially tore it. So he put the kibosh on that.
Fine. Family, how many other times could that have occurred in training camp? in a year? How many other times?
In camp?
Similar situation. My point being, Ted was crazy. He just didn't want this to happen on family night, when in fact the possibility of it happening is still significant because of how many times such a play occurs, yours in training camp. That's my question.
But in camp, during regular camp, no one's tackling.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, no one's like, you know, yeah, ever? Bodies. No. There's really very rarely a live period. If there is a live period, it's maybe like three quick goal line plays, and it's fast.
In the entire training camp?
Yeah, there's not many. There's not football.
Well, then I apologize. I want to apologize to the late Ted, because if you're not doing it any other times, you shouldn't do it in family night. Ted, they don't care what you do. You can walk out and read a children's book, and the place is still going to be packed.
Yeah. So, like, that's just, I mean, listen, anyone can get hurt at any time in practice, right? But, like, the risk levels when guys aren't rolling and trying to tackle running backs and doing, it's just the risk
goes
down.
So how can defensive players be ready for the season?
I mean, essentially what they're doing, I mean, they're wrapping up. It's heavy thud wrap up, but they're just not taking guys to the ground.
That's not a tackle to me. Explain to me what I'm missing. Tackling is let's go.
I get it. I understand. But, I mean, it's that's why they work on fundamentals.
So by wrapping up, you're ready for the regular season.
Right? I mean, okay. I don't know. I'm not a defensive player.
Yeah, but
right?
You played against them, so you know. Are they – As training camp changed in the first game of the year, did it seem to have any indication on how the defensive players played, or did it just make you go, Homer, it just doesn't make any difference? They play the same the first game, even if they don't tackle in training camp anymore.
Yeah, it didn't make too much of a difference because, and this was also a time, too, if you remember, where the starters would go out in preseason. We'd get reps in preseason, right? So they would be tackling. So, like, that would actually happen, is guys would go out and they would play preseason games and they'd get their tackling reps in there, right? So, like, it's just different times now. I'm not sure if LaFleur is doing live tackling during family night. If I had to guess it, the answer is no. But, again, I'm not 100% positive on that. It's just, I mean, I never noticed guys feeling like they were behind the eight ball because there wasn't multiple live periods every practice during camp. Like, there's part of it, right? And I understand what you're saying, because it is a fundamental.
I get it now. I'm wrong. I mean, if it doesn't, if maybe some coaches feel that way, if the defensive players are ready, I would never, why would I want them to get hurt? I'm going to take away everything. We're going to play flag football. What? Why risk any injuries unless there's a cost? If Brian Bulaga comes up and says, Coach, I got to let you know, we're just not ready for the season. We have to do more, whatever it is you think you need to do. Well, because literally you do almost nothing in training camp now, right? It's all mental.
Well, I mean, listen, they're practicing. Right. Like, I mean, it's they're out there doing it. They're not live tackling. I mean, there hasn't been live tackling in practices for a long time.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's just, again, it would be every now and again, there would be like a live goal line period. Like, that's like what it would be. You would have like a live goal line period, because it's almost impossible to simulate a goal line period without it being tackle. But, like, the coaches are just avoiding it. They hate seeing bodies on the ground. When bodies are on the ground, there's a chance for injuries, and they just hate to see it. They don't want to see guys' legs get tangled up and mixed up and guys rolling into each other. It's just there's no need for it early on. And if they're going to play in preseason games, that's where you would get your tackling in, so to speak, or breaking tackling or whatever you think you need. Now, the joint practices, there's no tackling there either. Well, maybe they do open it up. I don't know. But that's where you're going to see more of the physical play and potentially some guys going to the ground. That's where you're going to see more of it. So, that's just the way camps, now every team's different, but that's just the way Green Bay's been doing it for a while now.
All right. Well, you learn something every day. I have to rethink. All right, the Discount Liquor Twitter poll question, because I think this is what you learned from from Family Night. You know what I learned from Family Night?
Yep, let's hear it.
Jordan Morgan stinks. Doesn't mean he'll stink for life. It just means he has 0% chance of being a starter. He's not good enough. So my discount Lego Twitter poll, because Van Ness, he didn't show anything. He just runs through people. Well, Jordan Morgan is so weak. You've got to tell me all these different things about bounce and stuff. So weak, he just ran him over. Well, that doesn't mean Van Ness is any better. He didn't show anything new. It just means that Jordan Morgan is nowhere close to being a starter, especially at left tackle. And so I say there is a 105% chance that Rashid Walker is the starting left tackle for the Green Bay Packers this season. Agree or disagree? 29% disagree. What are they? How?
I mean, I would have to see the rep you're referring to. And what happened? Because obviously I didn't get to watch it, right? Like, I don't know.
I didn't watch that much. I only had to watch literally one play, and he just ran right through Jordan.
I know.
You watch that play, and you all right? Okay, we'll get the play, but it's not. This isn't just that play. This is my view on this whole thing in the first place.
No, I get
about Jordan Morgan. This isn't like, well, I thought he was good. It's
no,
it's all just made up. There's no battle. His job is to be ready to maybe play at any position. Rashid Walker is the starter. Rashid Walker is the starter. You'll like this. Okay, Homer, you're too far. Rashid Walker is the starter as much as Jordan Love is the starter. Yeah, put that one up as Homer has a new poll question.
Oof.
Rashid Walker is the starter in the same way that Jordan Love is the starter. Everybody's going to think I'm crazy. I'm not. I think it's that dominant. Like, the backup quarterback's okay, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but he's not starting.
I think he's okay. No, he's not starting over Jordan Love.
Right.
No.
And ain't nobody starting over Rashid Walker unless there's somebody that's in the competition other than Jordan Morgan. All right, I've said all those things. We'll break. And you can respond to any or all of them because this is the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. His response, Brian Bulaga, the doctor of football, next.
This is the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
It's not as good as Brian Bulaga talking about the Packers, but Brian Bulaga talking about Surfside, it's pretty close.
That's right. I'm here for my friends at Surfside, and summer is heating up. There's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Why I like Surfside so much? It just tastes cleaner than all those other drinks you see on the shelf. And there's so many great flavors, like my favorite, the half tea, half lemonade, peach tea, raspberry lemonade, and there are so many more, believe me. Find that can or bottle or container on the shelves. You're gonna trust me on this one. You are going to thank me. Made with real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside's only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right. No carbonation, so it's easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripe so that bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
And now, Brian Bulaga, agree or disagreeing with all the things I said before the break. I don't have to repeat them because if he really thought it was bad, he'll remember it. I don't have to repeat it.
No, you don't got to repeat it. Listen, no, I mean, I don't think that Rashid is going to get beaten out. Like, I mean, I agreed with you from when we started this conversation, like, what was it, weeks back, you and I had this conversation. I agreed with you there. I think there's a reason why Rashid's been the starter there and he's played well there for so many games. Right. And like, I don't see a reason why all of a sudden this camp, he would like fall off or he wouldn't be as good or something like that, or he wouldn't improve. Right. Like, I mean, obviously he's in year four. So he's just going to continue to improve as a player and get more confident. So like, I agree. I don't see a way that Rashid doesn't win this competition. But at the same time, like, I didn't watch the Family Night. So I don't know how Jordan Morgan did. I don't even have the film to watch it. I don't think I can get the film to watch it. I have no idea. But I won't do this. All right, I know you're going to get mad at me. I won't.
I have never, and will never get mad at you. Just,
yeah.
Just so you know,
I'm just going to say I won't judge Jordan Morgan off like a play that potentially he got. You know, someone got the best of him in a rep.
All right, now I want to emphasize before you finish. I've never been impressed with anything he's done at any point.
Okay.
And I understand he's a first-round pick, and it's too early to judge. There's clearly something they liked about him.
Yeah, 100%. And so, like, I just want to say this, too, right? Like, so for everyone that may say, well, if it's not a tackle, he can push Sean Ryan at guard. If strength is the issue, right, if he's struggling with his anchor at this point in time out at tackle –
I got to write that down. That's exactly what I believe. Struggling with his anchor, which is probably the most important thing to play the position, right? Your anchor?
Yes. You need to be able, because like tackles get caught in weird positions all the time, right? Like we get caught in funky positions. Our feet are sometimes out of whack. Our hands are out of whack. And it's how you're able to like sit and anchor down and readjust your hands to fit back in the block to finish it, to catch yourself, to catch the DN. Like there's always... there's always a point in time in a game where you're just the DN's going to have your number, and you got to be able to adjust and sit down and take on power and adjust to it. So if you're struggling with your anchor, kicking inside the guard against bigger, heavier guys, you're also going to have a difficult time, right? I mean, because it just is
more
what
difficult,
it is.
Wouldn't it be, or is that not?
Yes. Well, it's in shorter space. So if you're an aggressive setter like TJ Lang, I mean, TJ was strong. So I'm not even saying TJ had a bad anchor, but TJ was a jump setter. So TJ would get on defensive tackles like immediately, like he'd be on them like now. He didn't give them time to like get 2-3 yards of steam to run into him. If he did, he had a good anchor regardless, but like TJ was an aggressive setter. So if like, say Jordan Morgan was an aggressive jump setter at guard, he could maybe play around that in some time, but you can't do that all the time because you got to protect Zach Tom. If there's games and stunts and twists and depending on what the protection is, you got to play the game with your tackle. You got to be able to be on the same page with him. Not a vertical setter, but he gains a lot of width. So if you jump set as a guard and you're going up into the line and Zach Tom's backing off the line, you're just asking for ETs, for the end to just come pick the guard and pretty much free, right? He could pick the guard easy and then the tackle loops around and Zach Tom's trying to hold off the end while the guard recovers. And then it becomes a little bit of a nightmare. That was what TJ and I had to work through when we first started playing together, is how we figured that out. But with that said, if Jordan Morgan is struggling with the anchor part of this, right? And I don't know if he is, but I mean,
it doesn't count until you say it. As a listener to this show, how about this? As a listener to this show, anything about the offensive line, I don't really care what Homer says. I want to hear it from you.
Yeah. Well,
but I listen to this show on a regular basis.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't know if that's the biggest thing he's working through in his transition, right, from the college game to the pro game. I mean, it is a tough transition because you're taking on guys that are very fast and can turn that speed into power like instantly and like rock you. They can absolutely just rock you and you have to be able to recover real quick. Like I've always told you, like Clay was so good at it. Clay was able to take you into speed and think it was speed and then just turn it right into power and just jolt you. And you'd have to be able to recover on that really quick before he went into another move. And if you don't have the anchor to take on that first initial blow that the DN gives you, your body's all over the place. And if that DN feels that he's got you off balance, well, he's taking you for a ride all the way to the quarterback. So it's a matter of trying to find that place as a tackle that like you're comfortable with your anchor. And listen, it may take time, right? That, I mean, he's working through that. And he didn't get to do it last year because he, you know, was in and out of guard and then he got hurt. And now here he is again. He played guard a little bit in camp. Now he's out of tackle. So I'm not going to judge him based off I don't even know, because like I haven't watched anything. Now, once we get going in the preseason and he gets reps, well, let's see. Yeah. I know it's not going against the top ends, but still got to be able to take care of business.
Yeah, I look forward to that analysis.
Yeah,
I just want you to know there is no analysis about who's going to be the starting left tackle. It's over.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Rashid. I mean, it is, and it's not because I think any which way about Jordan Morgan. I just know Rashid is like battle tested, right? Like he's done this and he has the starts under his belt. And I don't think I know this, he's probably not having a bad camp. He's probably having a good camp. And I get he's going through a little injury thing right now. I don't know exactly what it is.
It's not the same degree. It's probably his last year at left tackle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably his last year here. So like, and he's fighting for a contract elsewhere. Right? Like,
I wonder how much. All right, Brian Bulaga, now you can be his agent. How much less would you take to be? Because if I'm Regine, I'm kind of thinking, they might move. But how much less would you take to be the starting left tackle next year, or feel like you have a pretty good chance? I guess if they don't guarantee you any of your contract, it doesn't matter what they're paying you. They could cut you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would want a guarantee, but
yeah, you got to get something. It's just like where the left tackle market is right now. Obviously the highest paid is like 28.6 or something like that. That's where the highest paid guys, obviously I don't.
So if they guaranteed him 10 next year, would you
over
stay?
How many years? I mean,
no,
how many
just
years?
1 year. I only get 1 year, but come on, let's
oh,
not.
Oh, like a 1 year extension for like $10 million, and then I don't know. No, I think he'd probably need a little more than that starting left tackle and the way he's played. Okay. And the way he's played, I
but
think
then
it's,
he's
got
to believe that he'll get a starting left tackle somewhere else.
Correct. Yes. He's gambling on himself. And I always love when guys gamble on themselves, right? Like I think it's great. You should gamble on yourself. That's why you should trust yourself, right? If you believe something and you believe that you're this type of player and you think you can play at a high level and earn yourself X amount of dollars, gamble on it. Do it. I love it. Like, I think it's great. I mean, it's good.
Wait a minute. I'm going to only gamble to a degree. Like, I don't know.
Well, that's saying that the team doesn't offer him a Zach Tom type of contract, which is not going to happen.
Right, but I'm saying I think the offers are so pathetic that I'm not really gambling on myself. They're just throwing crumbs. And I'm not gambling on myself, but I'm not going to take crumbs because
no. But then I was in the case of you saying they offered him $10 million guaranteed. Right. That's what I'm saying. In that case, I would go gamble on myself. Then okay. I would say I'm gonna.
At what point, knowing the top of 20, at what point would you not feel the need to gamble?
I mean, they start offering
12.
Is that 12 to 15? You probably should start considering that at a guaranteed rate, right? Like I think for a 1 year, I think you got to consider that for sure. Like right. And play again, play good again for one more year.
Yeah.
And test it again, right? Like, I think that's certainly something to think about. I mean, it's a good amount of money and guaranteed. So, like, it's something to consider. Obviously, we don't know if he'll be put in that position.
I mean, I'm not leaving my job because they're not paying me enough and I'm going to gamble on my talent to go work in New York City. Because you know what? I'm going to lose that gamble. You also have to be honest to, and I don't have this answer, but honest to, what are my chances of being a starting left tackle somewhere else in the league if the Packers don't give me enough? That's an answer you could make.
I think there's probably, I mean, you look around the league, there's at least 10 teams, 12 teams that would like his services right now.
And I've never had this chance, but I'm a guaranteed guy. The guaranteed money is That's the most important thing. So if I get a bigger guarantee, and I'm counting on 2 years or whatever, I'm okay with that, because the more they guarantee, the more they're invested in me. I think it was Tony Romo talking about an interaction he had when he was a quarterback with Parcells and the Cowboys. He said, "What you're offering me isn't going to make you want to play me. You got to offer me enough so that I know that you're invested, that you will play me." And Jerry Jones says, "Good point. Give him the contract." Right? Yeah. There's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I mean, at some point too, as a player, you got to feel like the team feels that, like, all right, we've paid him this amount of money, he's got to go out there. Right. He's our guy. Like, we've invested into him. We trust him. We need him, and all that's right.
Yeah. All right, now to the Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. I say 105% chance. That was just for Jason Wilde, because he says nothing should be more than 99%. That Rashid Walker is the starting left tackle for the Packers. Agree or disagree? Right now, 66% agree. The question now is, does Brian Bulaga, how does he vote? Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. I say there's a 105% chance that Rashid Walker is the starting left tackle for the Packers this season. Agree or disagree, Brian Bulaga?
I mean, 105. I mean, I just hate 105.
Then disagree. That's fine.
I mean,
hey, how about this one? Hold on. My next one. 105% chance that Jordan Love is the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. How you voting on that? You voting yes?
Yes. I'm
okay.
Voting yes.
All right.
I'm
yes.
Voting yes.
And you're voting no on this. I went too high. I'm okay with that. I get that.
I mean, I'll just say, like, how I feel about the competition and how I feel about how Sheet is. I mean, I'm up, way upper 90s.
All right. 105 is too high, says the doctor of football, Brian Bulaga. Third quarter next. But Wisconsin sports fans, it's almost that time of year again, football season around the corner. On August the 20th, the fantasy football draft is back as ESPN Wisconsin takes over the Pottawatomie Sportsbook for another exclusive event. I got to ask Brian if he or a family member wants to make the picks for my team. Call to join the ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy League and go head-to-head with me as you draft your championship team. I think I lost in the championship last year. Someone can remember. But if you or somebody in your family would like to make my picks, then they can do so. We're taking free food, great prizes. Oh, we're talking great food, free prizes, and the full VIP experience, all for fans 21 and up. Caller 10, caller 11, both will be the winners to win a spot in the Fantasy Football League. Are they in my league or are they just any team?
They're in your league.
Oh, really?
Correct, yes.
Oh.
We are drafting people for your league this week.
All right, so we don't have a name yet, do we?
That's the Homer Hour League.
Well, unless Bulaga or a relative wants to make my picks, then it would be the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. Can we have that?
I'm not sure that I know anyone. I'm not making your picks. I'm not a big fantasy guy.
Okay, then anybody in your family that would want to do it, all they have to do is be listening on the phone, and then when they see who's been picked, if nobody wants to do it, but ask them. Maybe they would.
All right, I'll ask.
All right.
I'll ask.
Nothing have you ever responded to with less enthusiasm than, yeah, I'll ask. Would you ask if somebody would like to mow my lawn every week for the rest of my life? Sure, I'll ask. Yeah, I'll ask. Next.
You're listening to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Yes, the fantasy football draft back at ESPN Wisconsin. It'll be a Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Again, August the 20th, you can join the Homer Hour Fantasy Football League, because I don't have much confidence at all in Brian Bulaga, a family member, wanting to do it. So it is now, until further notice, the Homer Hour Fantasy Football League. We got the necessary caller number 10, but we didn't get caller 11. So we will now do caller number 4. Caller number 4, 1-800-990-3776. You will get a spot in the Homer Hour Fantasy Football League. And that, again, the event is August the 20th. You got to be able to make it there. Otherwise, don't call, because what's the point? To be in the league, you got to be able to be there for the fantasy football draft at Potawatomi Sportsbook, August the 20th. Caller 4, 1-800-990-3776. Discussing the offensive line, I don't know, do you get tape from the family night or do you just watch what was on TV? And that's all. I just saw it for a little bit on TV, and then they highlighted some things because they wanted me to believe that Van Ness was, ooh, he's looking good.
Yeah, I didn't even get the TV copy, to be honest with you. I don't know. I mean, that's a local thing. So
it's
got
to be somewhere. I don't. You go to YouTube. I think can't you get everything on YouTube? Somebody makes a copy of something. I don't know. Help out Brian Bulaga if he wants the highlights. He doesn't need the fireworks or all the other stuff that goes on.
Yeah, I don't need all that. No. I'm good with the post game.
Now, the other thing is I wanted your history, even though you hate family night because you got hurt. Omar Brown had 3 interceptions. I think that's about as important as finding a pair of socks that fit in terms of him making the team. But do you have any memory of a family night performance by someone being of – any importance whatsoever where it changed because of what was done?
I don't recall like a guy's stock skyrocketing and like for sure he's making the team now because he did well at family night. Especially when the preseason games were coming up, right? Like you're about to go and play real games and you're going to get to see them against other guys. So like that's, And they got the joint practices, so there's so many more reps to evaluate against opposing teams than 3 picks. Now, obviously, good job for that young man. 3 picks. It's a nice night, nice family night in front of the fans. That's really good.
His final year at Nebraska, he had 1 interception. Final year at Nebraska, he basically created almost 0 turnovers. So.
He created 3 last night, or Sunday night, or whatever it was. Whenever it was, I don't even know when it was.
Saturday night.
Saturday night. Yeah. I have no idea.
Whenever I look, when go home, man, this is on TV, and then I very early caught Van Ness and Kevin Harlan was talking a little bit. You want to see? We'll see based on how much he plays and.
Yep. And how he does in the preseason games. Like, I think that's fair. And obviously how they evaluate guys during the joint practices is a whole nother thing too, right? They're watching that tape and how they break down the reps and give guys reps. He may have earned himself more reps in practice with like, say the 2s or the 1s. He might've done that for sure.
Yeah. If somebody had 3 interceptions in just a regular practice, family night or not, that's of note.
Yep. You're going to earn yourself more reps.
I don't think it happens very often. I don't know. I'll have to ask Jason when he's on Thursday. Give me the record. How many times a defensive back has had 3 interceptions in 1 practice in the history of training camp? So
yeah, I mean, I don't remember a guy having that type of night. But you know, I think the family night overall is. Again, you've said it, I've said it's a practice. You take what you can from it. Obviously, it's out in the stadium, but like I don't think guys' stock rises and falls any more than it would based on a normal
practice. Yeah,
practice out at Nitschke. Yeah. So, but it was a good night for him. And I hope, right? Like I hope that's actually something that like found another guy back there. I really hope so. I think that would be great. But again. It's hard to tell until he gets going against other opponents.
All right, now we get to another thing. We've probably discussed this before because I'm the worst. I'm the person who's against mental more than anything else. I believe, I don't know how large the percentage is. It's about talent. It's about how you play. It's like, oh, it's mental. No, they're just not good enough. If someone performs significantly worse in a pressure situation – there is a mental thing. I will agree with that if that occurs. But 90%, I mean, and I will change this vote based on what you tell me. 90%, I want to go 105, but I can't. 90% is your ability. I mean, how many players do you, I don't know how much you can watch them, you watch them, where you say they were good enough, they just weren't, I don't know, mentally tough, or I don't know what exists or what prevents people's inability to play in the NFL. And I would say the much bigger issue than mental is health. Some people just get hurt. But yeah. I will defer to, we'll take a break and then you can set me straight on if I need to regroup on mental. And this is no different when I coach tennis, 95, and their parents would say, don't even say it, because he's going to tell you, he's no good. His shot stinks. He misses it at the beginning. Like if someone has a bad, what was the phrase you used? I wrote this down. If you're struggling with your anchor at the beginning and then you struggle at the end, it's not mental. You got a problem with your anchor. And I think that's 90% of it, more than, you know, you just can't handle the pressure. No,
yeah.
He's not good enough. But Brian Bulaga will get the final word, so much so that I will not interrupt until he says, Homer, you can talk again. But for those of you listening, do not assume this is a future segment. I will not speak. I will intro the mental part of it, and then Brian Bulaga has to say, Homer, you can speak again.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Yes, Brian Bulaga will talk about mental and whether he thinks I'm mental after I tell you about Fisco. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. I tell you about them because you like them. They're that good. Then you'll like me and think. It's a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do. It's who they are, which means they're still doing it. It's still in the family. Imagine how long they've been doing it before they actually ever do it for you. That's why they're so good. Expert workmanship guarantee for the life of your vehicle. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. They're good. You'll thank them and then me, Fisco, to remember the name. All right. It's always been my belief, like the Jordan Love. Oh, it's mental. He's got no, it's way overblown. So way too much is said about it. I will change my opinion if Brian Bulaga proves me wrong. He will speak now, and I will not speak until he says, Homer, you can talk again.
No, I'm going to agree with you. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it does always come down to talent, right? Like that's, I mean, at the end of the day, can a guy get it done or not? Is he a good enough player to thrive in those moments? Now, there's obviously really good players that struggle with certain things at certain times, which could be, like you said, mental. And they can get over that as they, you know, get older in the league and get some more experience. But bottom line is, like, are you good enough or not? Like, that's really, like, the big discussion. Like, that, and that's the first thing you need to find out. Are you good enough to do the job or not? And listen, it's not everybody. We all know that. People love the NFL. People watch the NFL. Players come and go. Some of their favorite players, or they think who's going to be a great player for them or whatever it may be, or they think another guy that went to their college, went to a different school, he's going to be great and it ends up not going well. Like that happens, right? Because it doesn't always translate, right? It doesn't always work out. And the first thing is, it's like, did you have the right stuff to cut it? Like, and that's really what it always kind of boils down to me, is if you got the right stuff. And then the mental stuff, I think that all comes after it. All right, you're good.
Yeah, I get to talk again. I realized that was hard, even though you agreed with me. ESPN National is next. I mean, the debate, and we'll maybe get into this where it comes up, is where somebody's really good in college and doesn't play to the same level in the pros. You know, somebody is a fifth overall pick, or because they're pretty good at judging talent, but it's clearly also hard to do. You think this person's good and they're not, and maybe they do numbers or... So we'll discuss, so they have time to think about it till Thursday.
Yep.
What would be your theory on the history of watching some who just weren't as good in the NFL as people thought they would be after a better college career? ESPN National. Can't be raining in Atlanta, is it? The Brewers are playing, right? Not that I want you to listen somewhere else, but they are smoking hot. And the Nationals are horrible. Next.